second case for argument this morning is Yelisegi against Gonzalez. Mr. Mwange.
Thank you, Judge Easterbrook, Judge Coffey, Judge Williams. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Godfrey Mwange, representing the petitioners, Mary Banyayala Siseji, her husband, Umit, and her child, Elif, who petitioned the court to vacate and remand a decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals affirming the decision of the immigration judge who denied her asylum and withholding of removal. And she comes from Turkey, was born in an Islamic fundamentalist family, one of five children, who at age one was given away to her father's sister, who could not have any children, and would eventually, at age 18, be adopted by that family in a legal adoption. However, during her upbringing, during her growing years, she went back to live with her family, and as a child would suffer beatings and admonishments because she veered away from the strict Islamic code that her father wanted her to follow as an Islamic girl or daughter.
Isn't the problem here that that was not the government that had those views and that beat her, and a further problem that she never went to anybody in authority to try to stop this kind of behavior?
That is correct, Judge Williams. That is an issue that the IJ had a problem with. She answered that by her testimony saying that she did not believe that the government would give her protection because the government, as one of her expert witness testified, was not really interested in meddling in what it considered to be domestic issues and was more concerned about broader issues of preventing the nation from becoming fundamentally Islamic. And so she did not go.
I don't understand, though, why there isn't substantial evidence to support the contrary view. I mean, here you have a government that is on the verge of joining the European Union. It seems most unlikely that that government would say, well, we think religious persecution and the beating and murder of women is just fine in this country. And that's not what the immigration officials here found. It's not what the Europeans believe. And why isn't that substantial evidence for that understanding of what goes on in Turkey?
Your Honor, the State Department, which writes country reports on human rights practices, concedes or acknowledges that the government of Turkey has looked the other way in the face of reports of domestic violence, which is premised upon, say, women's insistence that they have the right not to wear Islamic garb, they have the right to self-determination, they have the right not to obey strict Islamic code. And in this case, this woman decided that she would marry a man who was a liberal Muslim and that she would not obey the strict Islamic code, resulting in her family attacking her. The professor who testified credibly. At least the immigration judge did not find that he lacked the credentials. There was no rebuttal expert witness that was presented by the government to counter his opinions, and his testimony was that the government of Turkey may very well, as the Department of State reports, be making some efforts in trying to rectify the situation, but the situation still exists in Turkey where families feel they have the right to impose these strictures on their female members, as happened in this case. And yes, Turkey is on the verge of joining the European Union, but I don't believe that that in itself makes Turkey a bastion of human rights. There are problems in Turkey which are acknowledged by...
problems with domestic violence in the United States, but we don't call them persecution when the government is unable to wipe them out.
Well, the difference...
Suppose one was willing to, one was able to show that there are substantial instances of battered spouses which the government of Illinois has been unable to stop. Would it follow that Illinois is engaged in persecution of women?
It would not, Judge Easterbrook, and the difference is that on average, if you went to a law enforcement agency in Illinois, you would probably be received with open arms and encouraged to come back the next time you had an incident. I don't believe that the human rights reports would sustain such a conclusion about Turkey. And I see that my rebuttal time is beginning.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Mr. Bott.
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. Brian Beyer on behalf of the Attorney General's respondent. The question before the adjudicator and the question before the Court is at the stage where the case is being decided, does the petitioner have a well-founded fear of returning to Turkey such that it would be reasonable not to require her to do so? And the argument hinges on this question of domestic violence. Well, let's talk about the petitioner's family. The petitioner, when she was appearing before the immigration judge, she was in her 30s. She's married to a man who poses no threat of domestic violence to her. She has children. And she has her own family now. And the question is, does the evidence in the record compel a conclusion that the government of Turkey or Turkish authorities would be unwilling or unable to protect her from her brothers if she were to return? And it simply doesn't.
Have they ever protected her?
Pardon me?
Has the government ever protected her?
She's never sought protection. Her husband has never sought protection, and her husband's family has never sought protection, as far as the record discloses.
In other words, when she was beat up by her own brothers and suffered a herniated disc, or she was confined or unable to get out of bed for a whole month. Adding that to the other incidents before?
There was no attempt to go to the police.
Well, I know, but couldn't you infer from that that she would not be protected? Because after all, her two brothers were enforcing all this. She couldn't go out at night without someone. She couldn't telephone.
No, Your Honor, you can't infer that. And you can't infer that because one aspect of the issue is it really necessary for the government to protect her? What happened in that instance is that she went voluntarily to meet with her sister and her mother, who she knew was in did not agree with her views, and who she knew, apparently according to the record, that her sister was supplying her contact information to her brothers a reasonable person would infer that it's possible that her brothers might well show up. And she, in effect, exposed herself to the possible danger. And there was no effort before or after that to seek any sort of refuge from that potential danger. She could have simply severed her ties with her family.
Well, how about the expert testimony?
Pardon me?
How about the expert testimony that she presented? That the expert testified that she would in all likelihood be killed if she were returned to her.
Well, Your Honor, the expert
testimony... Was that evidence overcome?
Well, Your Honor, there's evidence on both sides of the balance. And the agency is the one that's entitled to determine where the balance is struck. And the court's role is to determine, did the agency evaluate the case in a reasonable manner? And it does so by examining whether the evidence compels a contrary conclusion. And the critical factor here, as the immigration judge's decision notes, is that petitioner made no showing that she had attempted to go to the police and that it is purely speculative that the police would not have protected her. She bears the burden of proving that the government of Turkey would not protect her. And she wouldn't necessarily have to go back to Turkey or to adduce evidence that would convince you that if she had, or convince the adjudicator that if she had gone to the police, it would have made a difference. But she needs somehow to carry her burden of proof that the government of Turkey would be unwilling to protect her. The country report says that in cases of domestic violence, the police authorities may send the person back to the husband without really pressing any charges or anything like that. If this were a case where the petitioner's husband was the threat, we'd have a different case. But we don't have that case. And it's speculative and it's sort of wordplay to incorporate in the concept of domestic violence and to try to stretch the evidence of the apparent impunity of domestic violence to cover this situation where we're talking about the brothers of a 35-year-old woman.
What difference would it make whether she was 35 or 18?
Well, it makes a difference, Your Honor, because at some point the brothers realize, I mean, anyone would realize, that she's really no longer under their control.
And you feel that they realize it, but they beat her up anyway.
Well, she presented a target.
I'm only talking about your argument now.
I'm sorry?
I'm only talking about your argument. Doesn't make much sense just because she's 35 that now she's married. Obviously, they knew all that and they continued to do it. But that's
Your Honor.
Respond with your argument.
But the issue here is it was her asserted fear of persecution well founded?
And the expert said it was.
And there's contrary evidence in the record to that would support the agency's finding on that point. With respect to the issue of persecution, this court's decision in the Dandan case is instructive as to the burden that petitioner would need to point to before this court to overturn. to overturn the no persecution finding. And in this case, the evidence of a herniated disc and bruising does not rise to the level of persecution shown in Dandan. Dandan helps to confirm that the no persecution finding was correct. And as a consequence of that, the well-founded fear presumption that would rise by virtue of the regulations was not triggered here. The third issue in this case, and I'll just touch on it, is the question of the interpreter, the adequacy of the interpreter. And the court's decision in the Kuko case confirms that the denial of relief on that ground was proper. Kuko said that a generalized claim without a particularized showing of prejudice based on the record is insufficient to establish a due process violation. Yet that's exactly what the theory advanced in petitioner's brief is. So, in sum, the evidence does not compel a conclusion that petitioner is eligible for asylum. The immigration judge had a sound basis, and the board, in affirming the and adopting the immigration judge's decision on that point, had a sound evidentiary and legal basis for concluding that she did not have a well-founded fear of persecution, and that the asylum denial was proper. For those reasons and the reasons stated in the brief, unless the panel has any other questions, I just urge the panel to deny the petition for review.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further, Ms. Mwangi? Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.